criminal plans for the country.
Do you think one of the problems is that Nigel Farage can approximate talking like a human being, where you just resort to talking points and dodging questions?
And you did hear LBC's Eggie Chambray. More on that. In other news, Bobby Jenrick comes over all Charles Bronson on the London Underground.
You think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the Barry and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
Always handy to have an orchestra with you when you're doing that. Charges, of course, in the Liverpool parade. An ex-Royal Marine will give you the full details on that. And how patients and pupils could benefit from more than £1 billion in repairs to crumbling schools and hospitals. Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, a man is due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League victory parade. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including causing grievous bodily harm with intent. 79 people were injured on Monday. LBC's correspondent Chris Chambers has more details from Liverpool.
In terms of what we can say about Paul Doyle, legal proceedings are now active. So we can say he's 53, we can say he's from Berghill Road in West Derby, and that he's been remanded in custody to appear before Liverpool Magistrates Court this morning. We also had it confirmed by police yesterday that 79 people suffered injuries, 50 of those went to hospital, and 7 remain there in a stable condition.
An LBC investigation has found children as young as 14 could be selling knives to others on apps like Snapchat. Police say young people are using social media platforms to bypass legislation that prevents retailers from selling to children. Snapchat is yet to respond. DCI James Tipple is part of the Metropolitan Police's Specialist Knife Crime Unit.
We've been investigating social media accounts that sell knives. By doing that, they can bypass all the security legislation that prevents them from selling to children. So we look at identifying those people who sell prohibited and dangerous weapons.
You can watch LBC's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app. The latest proposal from the White House for a new ceasefire deal in Gaza is expected to be rejected by Hamas. The US says Israel has accepted the plan, including the release of more hostages and a 60-day truce. Hundreds of schools and hospitals in England are to receive funding to address maintenance issues. Ministers have set out how they will spend £1.2 billion confirmed in last year's budget. The money will be used to fix leaking pipes, poor ventilation, electrical issues and crumbling roofs. President Trump has been told he can continue to collect trade tariffs under emergency powers for now. Judges have agreed to pause a block on the import taxes ahead of a full appeal. Jack Draper is through to the third round of the French Open tennis. He beat Gael Monfils in a four-set thriller at Roland Garros last night. Draper joins fellow Brits Cameron Norrie and Jacob Fernley, who'll face each other next. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.16 after closing down 9 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Barclays ready-made investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays where do I begin investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after 7 on Friday, the 30th of May. The numbers simply don't add up. Sir Keir Starmer's assertion over Nigel Farage. We'll look at that, but the Prime Minister had a testy time from journalists yesterday. We'll give you all the details from a Prime Minister to a President. And it would appear the on-off, on-off again. The whiplash continues. Trump's tariffs are back on. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges.
Charges after the Liverpool horror.
53-year-old Paul Doyle is charged with 7 offences after allegedly driving his car through a crowd of people in Liverpool. I'm LBC's Liam Cotting with the latest.
Prominent Conservative Robert Bobby Jenrick plays tough guy on the London Underground. Have you ever confronted a fare dodger? Would you want to confront a fare dodger? This is TFL staff are advised not to, so you have to ask in many instances, what sort of measures or sanctions are there? And staying with Londoner stories...
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so.
But a report shows multicultural Londoners feel little love for England. Data shows residents here are more likely to have an affinity towards England than they would towards their city. We'll have a report and, of course, ask for your reactions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It's been an odd week for Reform UK leader Nigel Farage because he came back and without really feeling any need or being forced to, he decided to hold a press conference in which he laid out many of his plans. Unfortunately, as we said at the time, the numbers clearly didn't add up. Anywhere between 50 or 80 billion pounds worth of unfunded tax breaks and other measures. That's a lot of money. So was he found out? Well, the Labour Party probably think he was, although it wasn't a particularly good week either for Sir Keir Starmer with some of the questioning. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, is in the studio with all the details. Morning, Natasha.
Morning, Nick. Yes, Keir Starmer yesterday tried to set up the fight for the next election. We're still 4 years out from that, but he wants this to be a battle between himself, the Labour Party and Reform. So while he didn't have much to announce yesterday, he held a major press conference, like you say, to just attack one person.
In relation to Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage. Farage. Nigel 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 Farage.
No, I didn't count them, Nick, but there was a lot of mentions of Nigel Farage.
I think I gave up at 9. Yeah, go on.
And Nigel Farage tweeted last night, "Why are you so obsessed with me?" So Keir Starmer's main argument was accusing the Reform boss of Liz Truss-style fantasy economics and sums that just don't add up. He told an audience in the North West yesterday that his promises to raise the tax-free allowance, to scrap the two-child benefit cap and reverse the winter fuel changes would cost billions of pounds and that Mr Farage has not said how he'll pay for it.
Now in government, we're once again fighting the same fantasy, this time from Farage. The same bet, in the same casino, that you can spend tens of billions of pounds on tax cuts without a proper way of paying for it. Using your family finances, your mortgages, your bills as the gambling chip on his mad experiment. And I can see that in keeping with my point, apparently he's in Las Vegas today at a casino.
And earlier this week, Nick, you said Nigel Farage tried to paint himself as the only true champion of the working class in his own speech.
Reform really are now the party of working people.
People with alarms that go off at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go off to work. They work damned hard. Whether they're working for companies, whether they're trade union members, whether they run their own businesses or act as sole traders. They're the people that are voting for us.
So, Nick, we could be 4 years out from an election and we've got these two major camps already trying to set their stalls out and they already see each other as the main opposition. Where are the Tories? No one knows. Look, I go to a lot of these press conferences, Nick, and they're always a rough ride for any politician. But yesterday, Sir Keir Starmer faced an absolute barrage of questions, including from our own Aggie Chambray.
Are you not worried people will ask why you're holding a press conference about Nigel Farage 4 years out from a general election instead of focusing on your plans for the country?
Do you think one of the problems is that Nigel Farage can approximate talking like a human being where you just resort to talking points and dodging questions?
The speed of the decline in your popularity is historically unprecedented. Isn't this speech today an admission that you have failed and Nigel Farage understands voters better than you?
Why has a public school educated former city trader got more in common with the red wall than you have?
UK say you're running scared of them, that you're sounding increasingly like them with some of the policies and announcements you've made recently. This is a speech that was very defensive, wasn't it?
You went into the election promising to freeze national insurance and keep the two-child benefit cap. You since raised national insurance on businesses and now you're considering axing the cap. Isn't attacking Nigel Farage's economic credibility a bit rich?
Journalist Noah Hoffman from The Sun concluding LBC's political editor Natasha Clark's report. Well, let's pick up on a point that Natasha made and talk about the Conservatives and bring into the conversation the former Conservative Party chairman, Tory MP and Shadow Paymaster General Richard Holden. Mr. Holden, the party's gone from 14 years in power to now being in fourth place and hardly mentioned at the Prime Minister's conference. How have you managed that? That's quite an achievement.
Well, I think what the Prime Minister's clearly seeing is that from those announcements recently from Nigel Farage that he's really clearly targeting what we've been very traditional Labour voters with those sort of benefit and massive increases in benefits policies. I mean, the two-child benefit cap, I don't know if people really know what it means. It's not about the child benefit that you get on having individual children. What it's about is if you're on universal credit, it basically means that you can have all of that support and it's wraparound support. So it's everything from housing benefit all the way through. It's a huge amount. And there are exemptions for it. For example, if you have a multiple birth or if you're...
You're not answering the question, Mr. Holden. No, can I ask you to answer? I've been polite. I've been polite. Enough now. Your party has been around for nearly 200 years. You've been in power for 14 years. Reform, by comparison, has been around for about half an hour. They are referred to constantly now by the Prime Minister. They are clearly the opposition.
They're the opposition.
So why have you, not you, Percy, why has the party failed? I wonder if we can address that, Mr. Holden.
At the moment, it's quite clear that Reform and Labour are chasing the same voters. That's why the Prime Minister's talking about them.
At least they're getting voters.
Well, they've decided to park their. Nigel Farage has decided to go after the benefits stuff with massive unfunded spending commitments, and they're clearly now fighting after the same voters. It's quite clear that neither of them have any credibility on these issues. We saw the Prime Minister coming in saying he wouldn't raise taxes, saying all of that stuff before the election.
Is it embarrassing to have failed so badly for the Conservatives?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be in this position, but it's quite clear that we lost the trust of voters, and a lot of that was due to infighting over the last few years, and it's going to take a while, as Kemi has acknowledged, to turn that around.
We keep hearing a while. How long is a while, Mr. Holden?
Well, I think it's going to take years, if I'm totally honest, Nick, because, we lost the trust of voters. I don't think voters have really made up their minds about the next election yet. I can understand why Sir Keir Starmer's, worried that he's now being attacked on his left flank by Reform wanting more benefits.
At least he's got flanks.
Unfunded commitments.
I mean, you're not even Dad's army, you lot.
Well, I think that's a bit of a fact. We're still a very large party in local government. Still the official opposition with over 100 MPs. We're the ones out there making the case day in, day out. In fact, we're the only ones really holding the government to account.
Piffle. What's Nigel Farage? He's dictating policy at the moment from the casino.
Where is Nigel Farage on these issues? Where is he attacking Labour spending commitments? He's not there saying we should spend less money. We should get spending under control. He's saying, let's actually open the floodgates for more spending. He's desperate for these Labour voters up and down the country. Basically, Labour's support, we all know what's happened since the election, has collapsed incredibly quickly, right? What we managed to inflict on ourselves over 14 years, Sir Keir's managed to inflict along with in about 10 months.
Always enjoy speaking with you. Enjoy the weekend. The only way is Essex for you this weekend. Richard Holden is the Conservative MP for Basil and Billericay, Shadow Paymaster General. We'll let him retire and bring into the conversation at 12 minutes after 7. Paul Mason, who is a political journalist and broadcaster and writes for the New European. I'm not going to borrow the New European, though. I'm going to borrow Metro and their splash, their front page headline, "The End of the World is Nige," with a picture of Sir Keir Starmer and Nigel Farage. Paul, why is Nigel Farage seem to be dominating the political running? Good morning.
Well, good morning. There's an obvious reason that he's ahead in the polls, and they've come from nowhere. It's like, a few years ago, there were only two brands of trainer, and then, there's now four or five brands of trainer, and the Nike and Adidas of politics have got to get their act together and fight back. And I think that's what you saw Keir Starmer do yesterday. I think he gave it a good shot, actually. You played a lot of the journalists' questions. I mean, he was striding around with his sleeves rolled up in a workplace, and he battered them all away. Maybe not to the, you know, he maybe didn't give straight answers, and one of you, the questioners, was right. But I think what he's trying to do is to say, look, I get it that people are not satisfied with what we've done. In fact, you know, and I'm a Labour supporter, I would go further and I would say that they treaded water for 6 months, the first 6 months in office. They didn't really get their act together. They let the civil servants run the show. They did some great things. They're ahead on defence. They've got these three trade deals done, but they need to start delivering to the people who voted for them.
Let's look a little bit at Nigel Farage, Paul. As this week closes, I don't think he's had a great week, because he came out unnecessarily with uncosted packages that could be worth around 80 billion quid. Paul?
I think it could be 85, but look, a lot of people, if you're working for yourself, there's 5 million people, including me, self-employed, having a tough time, NI bills rising, etc., etc. You're not thinking about 85 billion, can they afford it? You're thinking at least somebody's promising something. Now, that's how populist politics works, and we did see with Liz Truss that it can crash the financial system. So I think, yes, he came out, and I think there is about 85 billion worth of commitments there, unfunded. The cost of money is five times what it was. So the government's cost of borrowing is five times what it was in 2021. So if you're going to throw around that amount of money, you've got to remember you're going to be paying 5% interest on it forever. So, and yes, one of his own backers, Tim Montgomery, the Conservative journalist, came out and said, look, these don't add up. So he's opened himself up, but as a small party, there's only four or five of them, aren't there, in Parliament, they don't get that level of scrutiny. And I think Keir Starmer's right to try and say, come on then, let's look at what they are saying. In the end, until Starmer makes good the pledge to smash the smuggling gangs and immigration starts falling, I don't think a lot of people who are currently thinking about vote reform will switch back.
I will leave it there, Paul. Thank you. Paul Mason, political journalist, broadcaster and writer for The New European. So, we heard from Nigel Farage, and we talked about this earlier in the week, ending the two-child cap on benefits, a new basic rate of tax threshold of £20,000. Get the calculator or the abacus out, and it's around 80, or as Paul Mason just said, more, £80 billion. So why is everyone getting in such a flap over Farage? It's economic illiteracy, isn't it? Also in this hour,
senior Conservative MP Robert Jenrick has been spending the half term catching fare dodgers, but why might he be in trouble with TfL? I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the story.
And also in this hour, talking taco. Why is President Trump now known as taco, the Mexican food? You don't know? You'll find out later in the hour. 7:16 LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
The man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade is due to appear in court this morning. The latest American proposal for a new ceasefire deal in Gaza will reportedly be rejected by Hamas. And ministers have set out how they'll allocate funding for school and hospital repairs in England. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many, then brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very busy on the M25, anti-clockwise from junction 25 at the A10 to 24 at Porter's Bar. It's after a car broke down earlier, although that's now been recovered. On the M2, westbound, two lanes are closed at junction 2 at the A228. It's because of those emergency bridge works, which also means the exit slip road is closed. And then also on the M2 westbound, just by the Medway services, there's been an accident and that's very busy on the approach. No Woolwich Ferry running. It's still suspended because of an ongoing technical problem. And on the underground, the District Line can't run from West Ham to Whitechapel. And also the Hammersmith and City Line is suspended between Barking and Liverpool Street. And there are still severe delays on the Piccadilly Line.
This is LBC.
At Morrison's, for this week's fresh weekly specials, save a third on our British rump steak. Now £16 per kilo. So get out the pan, turn up the heat and whip up a storm in the kitchen. Go on, treat yourself and someone you really love to a delicious steak dinner. All without breaking the bank. Fresh from Market Street. Majority of stores online may vary, subject to availability. Excludes Morrison's Deli, was £24.50 per kilo, ends 5th of June.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toca Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on!
Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only, T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, who's the first? Ian, you'll be the first caller to talk about this. The sums clearly don't add up. I said the day after Nigel Farage's press conference, I thought it was about 50 billion quid that he was light. It's more like 80 billion quid. So why is everyone getting so rattled? I did reference that it was on the front page of one of the newspapers. Good headline for Metro. The end of the world is Nige. That's Sir Keir Starmer's assertion. Politics also for the front page of the Daily Mail. Kemi blasts race to the bottom on welfare handouts. I think that's what the former Conservative Party chairman Richard Holden wanted to get across, but I just couldn't. He just wasn't answering the question, so we had to move on with that one. And the front page of The Eye, PIP disability claimants in key Labour areas at greatest risk of welfare cuts. The other big story, which we can't say much about, and we will, of course, cover it, is charges at the Liverpool Trophy Parade horror earlier this week. An ex-Royal Marine, that's the front page of both The Sun and The Daily Mirror, and we'll bring you an update on that. Quickly to the LBC app. Well, they've got the big business story. Trump's Liberation Day tariffs temporarily restored. It is, as I often say, it's like whiplash over there in the States at the moment. It's on, it's off, it's on again. But why has Donald J. Trump earned the nickname Taco? And it unleashed a Mexican wave of anger from him. You don't know? Stay tuned, you'll find out. One story from another website, just completely at random. Let's go to the Sun newspaper, Sun Online, I should say, the Sun Online. And they have the new lineup for the rebrand tour, as they call it, so with Jeremy Clarkson and his pals being relieved of their duties as that TV show comes back, and the Sun has the details if that excites you. Right. So why are people getting so rattled about Nigel Farage? He has just a handful of MPs, and the numbers don't add up. Ian's in Cardiff. Ian, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Why is it?
Who can say? The thing that I get from it, I don't agree with a lot of the policies that Reform are spouting.
Mm-hmm.
But what alternatives do we have? We've just had 14 years of the Conservatives.
Yep.
That are arguing amongst themselves, which
yeah,
I really
they stunk the place
about.
Out. Let's be honest, they absolutely stunk the place out.
You know, and then we get the Labour Party that promised everything in their manifesto, a new turn on everything. What are the alternatives? I think this is the reason a lot of people are turning to Reform, because they're offering something.
Are they offering something that you like? Could you ever see yourself voting Reform, Ian?
No.
Okay, that's really interesting. Might I ask why?
A lot of the policies, and I don't think the party's mature enough to take control of the country yet.
Right.
Maybe in a few years when...
Okay. What does a mature party look like? Because I think, by the way, I think you've put your finger on it. A lot of people would say, but they are really, really the new kids on the block. So what makes a party look more mature in your view, Ian?
Dare I say it, we need somebody at the helm that's strong with
right.
the rest of the world.
Okay.
And I'm from Yorkshire, you can probably tell with my accent.
I didn't think you were Welsh. I'm not going to lie. I had to tread carefully because the Welsh can be rather prickly at times, but I didn't think you sounded like you were from the Valleys.
But one of the best leaders, and I would get stoned in Yorkshire for saying it, would be Margaret Thatcher. We wouldn't have any of this nonsense.
Right. You weren't a miner then, I sense.
No, but all my family was.
Really? Did they lose their jobs?
Yeah.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Okay. So, when you're with your family, lastly, if you go back, whereabouts in York? Might I ask which town or city you're from in Yorkshire?
I'm from Leeds. But,
you're from Leeds. Yeah. Do you say that when you're with them up in Yorkshire? Do you say that you're a bit of a fan of what Thatcher did, or you just guard your counsel, keep your counsel rather?
No, I speak openly about it, and believe it or not, Nick, there's a lot of ex-miners that still, although they didn't like what she was doing with the miners and the pits, on reflection, they're looking back and they're thinking, well, actually, you know, she was a strong lady. She didn't do us any favours.
Well, the reality is, lastly, and I must let you get on, Yorkshire people are pretty direct. They call it the way they see it. That's probably why Mrs. Thatcher actually would appeal to a lot of Yorkshire folk, because she was pretty plain speaking, wasn't she?
I think you're right, Nick, yeah.
Enjoy your weekend, Ian, down in Cardiff. Thank you for all your input on that. We'll have more calls on that in a moment. Now, we're staying with politics, but I'll be asking you later, and credit if you have you ever confronted a fair dodger, whether it be on the underground, as we're going to discuss in a moment with my colleague LBC's Henry Riley, or it might have been on an overground train, or it could have been a bus. One of my colleagues saying that she sees almost every morning people get on, not just simply walking past and not scanning their card. This has its origins with a politician, but as I say later, have you ever done it? For goodness sake, be careful. Excuse me. For goodness sake, be careful. But have you confronted a fair dodger? Well, Bobby Jendrick has turned Charles Bronson and has done it, and LBC's Henry Riley's in the studio with the details. Morning, Henry.
Morning, Nick. They're calling him Detective...
Have you dressed as someone from the London Transport?
I've just got
a white short-sleeve shirt, as if you're a bus driver.
If I'd known this was going to be the talking point of the office this morning...
You're going
morning,
undercover.
I wouldn't have worn it.
Undercover for LBC. Tell me you've got blue trousers on.
I have got blue trousers
on. Henry Riley reports.
It's a short-sleeve white shirt. Nick, Detective Chief Superintendent Robert Jenrick has been spending the half-term holidays trying to catch fair dodgers. He had no suit. Instead, he's donning a sort of checkered, recess-friendly shirt. The Shadow Justice Secretary descended underground a few days ago at one of the capital's busiest railway and tube stations, Stratford. A video plastered on social media, watched so far by nearly 10 million people.
Excuse me, do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay? You can as much as you want. But everyone else has to pay. Are you carrying a knife?
It's unusual to see a politician self-shooting these videos, Nick.
Why did he take an orchestra with him?
I'm not quite sure, no. But you often see sort of politicians going out with their local bobbies or wearing a high-vis, but actually to do this, take matters into your own hands, is unusual. He spoke with Ben Kentish on LBC yesterday about why he made the video.
I subscribe to the broken windows idea that if you allow one small act of law-breaking to take hold, many more people will join in, and then some of those people will go on to commit more serious offences, and the issue will just get ever, ever worse.
But not everyone has been supportive. Former police officer Graham Wetton told LBC he felt it set a dangerous precedent.
My issue is with the way he's actually conducted this. A sensible, responsible, balanced way would have been to contact TfL, ask to go out with one of the revenue teams. I think it's a dangerous precedent when you see an elected politician doing this sort of stunt on their own without any, I presume, no risk assessment, no awareness.
I then caused a bit of mischief, Nick, when I asked Transport for London whether Robert Jenrick had permission to film. They said he had no permission to film. However, his team say it's not for commercial purposes and so he didn't need to ask permission, whereas my source at TfL said actually if the Shadow Justice Secretary's got a big sort of feature film, they probably should have let them know. He was asked about that by Ben Kentish. It's clear he had little time for TfL.
If TfL want to take action against me, bring it on. I think what they are doing is completely ridiculous and laughable. They should be spending their time trying to apprehend the people who are actually breaching the rules by not paying for their fares.
Now, last month, more than 3,000 people were convicted of fare dodging. TfL say the practice is unacceptable. One individual recently, Nick, actually used a contactless payment card to evade 202 journeys. They then had to pay £1,500 in fine. But TfL say it's currently 3.4% of all journeys on the network. In New York, it's 13%. So they say it's much lower. But by 2030, they want to get it down to 1.5%.
OK. Henry, say after me, all change, please.
This bus terminates at the next stop.
Wouldn't let you on my bus.
Henry Reilly, for some reason, dressed as Reg Varney from on the buses, reporting. We'll come back to that later. Isn't that depressing? I feel like I've woken up in a parallel universe from Henry Reilly's report, because you have the police officer say, no, he shouldn't do that. He should have gone out. He should have gone out with a special team. Should have let everybody know. And you've got the politician saying, I want to get out there and see what's happening. Isn't that half the battle, that we don't stand up to these people? By the way, on this story, Transport for London staff have been told they do not need to intervene to stop fare dodgers. TfL, of course, part of the remit of Sir Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, tells workers while station staff should encourage travellers to pay, they do not have to confront them. Encourage people? What do you mean, encourage? What are you... hello, sir, excuse me. Yes. What are you planning to... I wonder, have you thought of paying for this fare? It might be... no, thanks. No wonder we're going to hell in a bloody handcart. This is incredible. A minute to do a couple of the many emails that are coming in. Started the show with the Empire Fights Back, Sir Keir Starmer launching an attack on Nigel Farage's sums don't add up and other assertions. Andy in Portsmouth, after that awful attack on Nigel Farage and reform by Starmer, the odds on Labour being pressured to allow the country an earlier general election must be odds on. Has Starmer got a reform person advising him? Daniel in Wellian Garden City, Starmer has to hold these press conferences as damage limitation against reform. Too many people are hanging on Nigel Farage's every word, but need to understand the facts and the consequences. Do keep them coming. Now, why is the most powerful man in the Western world, the President of the United States, being called a taco?
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that.
Yeah, he says it's foul. But what's the truth? That's after the news. 7:30, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC Headlines. Thomas Watts.
The 53-year-old man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's trophy parade is due to appear in court later. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including GBH with intent, over Monday's incident. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the latest US proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. Sources say the plan, which would see more hostages released and a 60-day truce, doesn't meet Hamas's key demands. President Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Judges have agreed to pause the ruling made by a federal trade court earlier this week ahead of a full appeal. LBC weather, cloud with rain for many places this morning, then turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
This is LBC.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £185 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at €250 million. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Have you turned vigilante after Bobby Jenrick comes over, all Charles Bronson or Clint Eastwood? We'll take your calls on that later in the show. We're doing more of that, by the way, also after it. 7:33 now into the world of finance. And why is the big enchilada being called a taco? Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, explains. Morning, Christian.
Good morning to you. Yeah, a bit of a routine now, isn't it? We go to bed, we wake up,
And there's been a further twist in Donald Trump's tariff agenda. We discussed yesterday this little-known trade court in the US that effectively ruled that the bulk of his tariff agenda had actually surpassed his powers. The White House said they would appeal immediately, which they've done. And they've been granted a reprieve, a couple of weeks at least. They do expect, everybody expects now that this is going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court. It is a tussle over the power that the White House has, the power of the executive branch over the power of Congress. Trump has described the court's agenda as country-destroying. The White House reacted furiously. Where does it leave his negotiations? Well, I mean, the European Union, among others, are still in intense negotiations about this. They now know that their negotiating partner is facing pressure from within, if you like, that there is now uncertainty added to the agenda. But Trump's trade team have said, look, even if we lose these court cases, we're going to find a way to do this anyway.
You're not going to thank me for this question, but how? Because it changes, as you rightly say, almost by the hour. But how is this going to play out over the weekend, do you think, Christian?
Well, I mean, there'll be a bit of a reprieve in the sense that markets won't be trading over the weekend. We know that they dipped a little bit in Asia. We'll look at the US situation when they open later. So Trump has made it perfectly clear that he has no intention of swallowing the court's authority on this. So there's plenty of politics as well as the legal arguments. That's how the weekend's going to be shaped.
All right, let's move to other matters. Come here at home. Their current advertising slogan is, that's more like it, but it doesn't appear to be working for this supermarket chain. Christian.
Well, Asda have had a bit of a tough time of things. There's no doubt about it. They were taken over by private equity giant TDR a number of years ago, since when their market share has slipped, and they've been facing huge pressure from the discounters as well as their traditional big rivals. The chairman, who's been drafted back in, Alan Layton, has said that there is now evidence of some green shoots of recovery. That's not immediately obvious in the numbers, although they did generate about 5 billion quid in revenue. That's not small change in the first few months of this year. Nevertheless, they have suffered a bit more of a decline of their year-on-year growth and a bit of a decline in their like-for-like sales. They've said that they are investing dramatically in trying to bring prices down. That's made more difficult by the issue that you and I discuss all the time, which is, of course, food price inflation, which is still causing a bit of a nightmare, to say nothing of the additional cost pressures on big retailers at the moment. So they say they're in the middle of a turnaround plan. Analysts are a little bit sceptical as to quite how they can pull it off, given the headwinds.
Let's move to other matters. Now, to some share prices, and shares in Ryanair closed yesterday at over €21 for the 28th consecutive day, which triggered part of the remuneration for the boss, Michael O'Leary. What was that worth?
Well, I like to think that when that share price target was hit, there was some sort of trigger and some confetti rained down in Michael O'Leary's office, because it's basically netted him about €100 million.
That's right, €100 million.
One of the biggest corporate bonuses in European history. This is because he hit a particular target of hitting a particular share price for a particular number of days. Now, he has to stick around for another few years to crystallise it. I'm sure that he will. He's been there about 30-odd years as it stands. This carrier is tremendously successful, and I think they took about 200 million passengers, the first European airline to hit that figure, last year. So he's going to stick around over the next few years to crystallise this bonus payment. And he, by the way, he has very little patience, as you might imagine, for people who criticise this. He called any criticism of this arrangement mewling nonsense, compared himself to footballing superstars, etc., said he's basically worth every penny. And there is a case to say that he is, when you consider what he's done to that business. Took it from absolutely nothing, regional Irish flyer in the 80s, took it to what it is today. And so he's, I'm sure, looking forward to that. He'll be about 67, 68 years old by the time that money comes in, and, well, he can spend some more time with his racehorses.
Yeah, I doubt he'll fly on the airline a great deal. It's not the sort of level of comfort he might expect. Lastly, why would Nationwide clients, customers, I don't know what you call them, why might they be celebrating, Christian?
Well, they call them members.
Oh, do they? I'm so sorry, member. Oh, right, it's like John Lewis, is it? All right, OK, they're members then. On we go.
And they've got millions of them, and if you're amongst them, you'll receive a cheque for £100 for the third year. Which is nothing to sniff at. Nationwide have announced or confirmed that they will be paying out to their members once again off the back of some pretty impressive financial results, which in their own part were largely driven by their very successful tie-up with Virgin Money. I say tie-up, they snapped up Virgin Money, which has made them, I think, the second biggest mortgage lender in the country. They're on a bit of a roll. They seem to be committed to high street banking when others are pulling back from it. They're calling for a change to mortgage affordability rules so they can help more people get on the housing ladder. And if you are one of those members, either with an account, I think, or a mortgage, you can expect a check in the post.
Enjoy your weekend. Thank you. Christian Mayes, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. The time is 7.38. Coming to you, David, you'll be the next caller. We're looking at the Sir Keir Starmer, fight back yesterday and mentioning Nigel Farage. If you were listening at the start of the show, my colleague, the political editor, Natasha Clark, did a sequence of the number of times that Sir Keir mentioned Nigel Farage or Farage, and I lost count after nine, and on and on and on and on and on it went, with all the journalists asking, why are you targeting so much? David's going to give me a view on that in a moment. Just a couple more, though, from the social media and the text. Tony says, you've got to stop lying about Reform UK, saying that it's not costed. There'll be £45 billion savings from net zero, £30 billion to Mauritius, £22 billion on carbon capture. And Tony, all you go on with all the figures. But I have to remind you, a number of independent financial analysts, Tony, all this week dismiss those claims and say it doesn't add up, and it doesn't add up to about £80 billion. One last one. Ben in Skipton, why do you keep saying Farage doesn't know where he gets the money from? He did state how it would be funded. You're all doing this. Well, I've just explained. The economists, who are quite important to listen to at times like this, certainly possibly more than the politician, says it does not add up. Let's get voices on the radio. That's what we're about in the morning. David's in Leicester. David, your reaction. Good morning. Why is he rattling all the cages?
Morning, Nick.
Hello, sir.
I'm a bit surprised that you're surprised at why Farage is getting the government in such a flap.
Spell it out for me, sir. Go on. I need your help.
He's had a massively, massively disproportionate amount of airtime on all media channels and stuff, despite Reform being such a small party. The amount of coverage that they've been given, it's no wonder that the government are having to respond to what Reform are saying.
But isn't it almost a vicious or virtuous circle? Because he gets so much because his party did so well at the local elections and that by-election and the mayoral elections. So does it not feed itself, David? I'd like your view on that.
No, it's not a recent thing that he's been getting so much airtime. It seems like it's been years that Farage has been on every single day, either sort of in the studio or calling in. And even with yourselves at LBC, he seems to be on fairly frequently.
Because he's popular. I don't want to be rude. I really don't want to be, but there's no point banging on about Ed Davey, is there, really? I mean, unless you're Mrs. Davey, there's not a great point, because no one... He's a very nice guy, and he's the sort of guy you'd trust to water the plants if you went on holiday. But he's not going to set the world alight, is he?
My point is simply that it seems like Farage is a media-made man. He's popular because he's been getting so much airtime, not because he's actually of any
benefit. But he knows how to play it. That's his skill, isn't it? And Sir Ed, just throws himself down a roller coaster or something like that. Everybody has a lard, dresses as a pantomime dame. Well, he hasn't quite gone that far. You probably think of that. And it's not. He doesn't connect, David, does he?
I'm sure that Ed Davey would love to be on the media more and not have to do ridiculous things to get any airtime. But it doesn't seem like he actually gets the chance.
All right, mate. I've enjoyed our conversation. Hey, you're a Foxes fan.
I'm a rugby fan.
You got the right end of the coin there. It has been horrific. You can chuckle. Oh, dear, I don't remember it being this bad for a while. David, look after yourself. Have a good weekend in the capital of the East Midlands, up in there in Leicester by the River Soar, a city I know well. Well, the river might soar the team, doesn't it? 7.41. Let's go a little bit further up north. We go to another city beginning with L, but it's Liverpool. And, of course, they enjoyed that football success, but it was marred by a tragedy with what happened at the parade. Charges now, as you've already heard, on LBC, which rather precludes any more conversation, but we need to tell you where we now find ourselves with the legal position. Let's go to LBC's reporter joining me from Liverpool, Liam Gotting. Morning, Liam.
This morning, Nick, 53-year-old Paul Doyle from the West Derby area of Liverpool has been charged with 7 offences, those being 1 count of dangerous driving, 2 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, 2 counts of wounding with intent and 2 counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, at yesterday's press conference, which was led by Sarah Hammond, the Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Merseyside and Cheshire, she said the charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
Prosecutors and police are continuing to work at pace to review a huge volume of evidence. This includes multiple pieces of video footage and numerous witness statements. It is important to ensure that every victim gets the justice they deserve.
She also urged people not to comment or share information which could in any way prejudice legal proceedings. Now, the Assistant Chief Constable of Merseyside Police, Jenny Sims, was also at that press conference. She added that seven people are still in hospital in a stable condition after what happened on Monday night, and a total of 79 people were injured in the collision, with the youngest being just 9 years old. She also said detectives are continuing to go through CCTV, dash cam and mobile phone footage. Here is the Assistant Chief Constable speaking yesterday.
The man arrested by Merseyside Police following the incident on Water Street has now been charged with seven serious offences. Doyle has been remanded into custody and he will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court in the morning.
One of these charges relate to six people who were injured, including two of those children. And as we heard from the Assistant Chief Constable there, Paul Doyle will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court this morning around 10 o'clock.
Liam Gotting reporting, 7.44 the time, bit more on the social media. I'm going to try and get that right because I often don't represent it as much as I should. Ricky says, let's be honest, immigration, the boats and the migrants hanging around in our town centres are the reason Reform and Nigel Farage are relevant and the reason Keir Starmer is panicking. Simon in East Grinstead, you just can't win with you. You slate Labour, you slate the Conservatives and now you're slaying Nigel Farage. You're never happy. But, Simon goes on, Farage will sort this country out. Meanwhile, Richard and Stevenage is anything but impressed. I don't get all this fuss about him. I think he's a liar. He's even more dishonest than Boris Johnson. Do keep them coming. Now, coming up after the news, we will hear from a government minister how there will be more than £1 billion spent in vital repairs to what they call our crumbling schools and hospitals. If you possibly your child is on half, or children are on half term, I know not the whole country, but quite a chunk of the country, but as and when you get ready to take him, her, them back on Monday, what is the state, the building repairs or lack of in your school? And the last time you went to a hospital, or indeed if you work in a hospital, and I'm thinking of some of the hospitals I've visited in recent years, they really do need that money. So just how bad a problem is that? And then in the next hour, we will come back to this story. Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap. The gap, by the way, in TfL prosecutions for fare dodging has dropped some 40% in a year. And it's been tackled by that prominent Conservative MP, Robert Jenry. He confronted some of those dodgers. Have you, would you, or did you? And how did it go? Remember, TfL staff are told they should encourage people to pay. The hell's that all about? 7.45 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's trophy parade is due to appear in court later. Donald Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the latest American proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places, then brightening up later, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. These problems on the underground do continue. The Hammersmith and City line can't run between Barking and Liverpool Street. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. The District line is suspended from East Ham to Whitechapel and there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line. No Woolwich Ferry running. It's still suspended because of the ongoing technical problem. On the A1 northbound, just after Mill Hill Circus, a lorry's broken down, so one lane is closed. In East Ham, the High Street North remains closed in both directions, and that's all down to a fire in a building that started last night. And on the M2 westbound, two lanes are closed at junction 2 at the A228, and that's because of the emergency bridge works.
This is LBC.
Samantha? Samantha!
Go on, reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Already daydreaming about that wave of hot air as you step off the plane? EasyJet has flights from just £30 one way to over 130 holiday hotspots and hidden gems. It's time to get your summer on. Book now at easyjet.com. Get out there. Selected flights June to September. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
This is LBC. Message Nick Ferrari on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
The numbers are far as from reality, so why? Do you see what I did? That would work in a newspaper headline. I accept that. It's not so good far as from reality. I understand that. But you take the boy out of the sun, you can't take the sun out of the boy. So why is everyone getting so rattled? Dave in Portsmouth is about to explain. Hello, sir. Why is it?
Everyone seems going so well.
Richard Holden, the Conservative Party, well, he was chairman, was telling me why Nigel Farage is a horse's backside when it comes to politics. Sir Keir Starmer couldn't stop saying his name yesterday. It was Farage saying, why are you so obsessed? Why is it? Because the numbers don't add up, Dave.
Yeah, but also the numbers don't add up or anything adds up with what Labour say or what Conservatives say. They're all bickering amongst themselves. Ah. Reform is actually small, we know that, but strange things happen. Now, did you know that Nigel Farage is the bookies' favourite to become the next Prime Minister?
Honestly, are you sure about that?
Absolutely. You get your staff to, your colleagues to check it out, okay?
I'll just do it now. Staff! Just, will you check Corals, please, staff? Or Paddy Power, or Vet Victor? Yeah, I'm on it. Dave, go ahead.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now, I think one of the main issues at the moment, as we all know, is this business with the boats.
Yes.
The amount of Prime Ministers and Home Secretaries who have said with great confidence, we're going to stop the boats, but they never do, and they never say how they're going to do it.
Do you think he's got the policy, Mr. Farage has the policy to actually stop the boats? He is King Canute. There's a wordplay on that.
Well, let's put it this way. He's got more chance than anyone else. But
By the way, sorry to interrupt, sir. Nigel Farage has emerged as a favourite with Ladbrokes to replace Keir Starmer. After a flurry of bets, the bookies have slashed odds. When is this dated, please? He's gone down from 13 to 8. So that was, exactly a week? Just over 10 days ago. Right, on you go, Dave. Yep.
While we're on this subject, if we've got... A couple of seconds. I think the whole boats problem is not being attacked the right way, because when they get to the shores of the UK, it's too late. We're then duty bound to have them in for human rights reasons, and they have a whole load of medical people and admin. Now, why not do it the other way round? Get the authorities to go to the French border and stop them actually physically going on those boats, and then, whereas the French authorities just look at them and wave them off and say, have a good time.
I don't know if they're having a good time, but certainly there's no effort made once they get in the water. There's no suggestion that they'll haul them back or actually not allow them. They almost seem to want to push them out midway across the English Channel. Dave, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. We must go to other matters, political matters, though, because is the school, as I said earlier, it's possible your child or your children are on half-term. For much of the country, they are, so they'll be going back on Monday. But what's the standard of the school to which they will be returning? If you're a teacher or one of the clerical staff, caretaker, whatever, groundsman or woman, again, what's the condition like? And if you're part of our mighty NHS, What are the hospitals or possibly the clinics in which you work? Well, the government says there's room and need for action, and they've earmarked £1.2 billion worth. Here to explain more is Labour MP and Minister for School Standards, Catherine McKinnell. Good to have you on. I appreciate we might focus first on the schools, but if we can bring hospitals in too, where is the money? How will it be decided where the cash goes, Minister? Morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, so we've got schools and hospitals in a shocking state of disrepair. So we really want to turn the tide on that. We're investing £1.2 billion across schools and hospitals. So £750 million of that is going to over 400 hospitals. I mean, we're talking repairing leaking roofs and windows, upgrading electrics. And then as part of a wider £2.1 billion of investment in school buildings, this is a pot of money that's allocated to help 656 schools fix things like boilers and roofs and asbestos. And fundamentally, it's about more than the buildings. It's about, obviously, the education of the children within, that they get excellent education for every child. And it's about making sure that school hospitals can deliver for patients because, you know, can you imagine being a surgeon, having to cancel a surgery because the lights don't go on? It's just unthinkable.
Is this all new money, Minister?
So this is money that was allocated at the autumn budget, and the allocations are now being made, and they are really being made right across England, through, you know, right across all of the integrated care system areas. And in terms of schools, it's going on the most sort of pressing needs. So this is funding that schools have bid into to get the funding. And obviously we recognise there is a wider Rebuilding Schools programme. There is a wider NHS investment programme in capital infrastructure. But this is a pot of money that really is literally fixing the foundations so that we can deliver our plan for change.
And how many months or possibly years is this building programme going to last?
Yeah, so this is a pot of money specifically for 2025 to 2026 financial year. And so these projects will be up and running very quickly. So hopefully people will start to see where things have been broken in their local NHS or in their local school. They can start to be fixed. Again, you know, it doesn't replace that wider rebuilding programme that we clearly need to see. There's a big backlog of investment in our public services. But we see this not as investment in the buildings. It clearly is, but it's investment in the people that work in them, that use them, that need those services to really improve outcomes for, as far as I'm concerned, as Minister for Schools, to really deliver on that excellent education for every child. You have to, I mean, what a memory of the last government of children literally sitting under steel props. There's a lot of work to do to make sure we fix all of that and that it doesn't happen again.
Well, I'm reminded of that, Minister. Of course, under the previous administration, under the Conservatives, we had this RAC scandal, as I believe it was called. Has all the RAC now been taken out or is in the process of we are over that hurdle, Minister?
So we're not over that hurdle yet, and we're not over it in the NHS either. We have identified all the RAC, though, and there are plans in place for either fixing it through a separate programme to this, or indeed just rebuilding the buildings, because for the fact that they had RAC in them means that they're probably a substantial age as a building. So there is a Rebuilding Schools programme. We are accelerating that as well as much as we can. We have taken a little bit of time to assess the full situation to make sure that we make sure we have a plan in place to deliver. But we have been engaging with all of the schools that are impacted to make sure they're aware of that. We know exactly what their needs are. They're aware of the plan, and we can work with them. But this fund, actually, for some of those schools that actually do need a full rebuild, they can still access this fund to support them in the interim period, because we appreciate you can't just switch a switch and everything be rebuilt the way it needs to be.
Just briefly, while I have the benefit of you on the line, Minister, a couple of other points. We're talking about Sir Keir Starmer and his speech yesterday up in St Helens, in which he referenced Nigel Farage. We've actually lost count of the number of times, and Mr Farage has, I think, sent out a social media post from Las Vegas asking why he, Sir Keir, is so obsessed with him. Why is the Prime Minister obsessed with Nigel Farage, Minister?
So, I mean, I think it's really important to listen to voters and some of the issues that they've identified. I also think it's really important to call out when things are being said that need challenged. And I mean, I think we all experienced the disastrous Liz Truss budget and promises that couldn't be delivered, couldn't be paid for, and were too good to be true. And it turned out they were, and they completely crashed the economy, and everyone's been paying the price for that. So I think it's right to call out where promises are being made where there's no clear indication of how they'll be delivered. And I think it's important to call it out. And I think that that's all it is. It's sort of seeking a bit of reality within our political debate.
Finally, Minister, would you support conceding ground on the two-child benefit cap?
So I'm working really hard, along with many other ministers across departments, to really develop our child poverty task force strategy. I think there's a whole raft of measures that we need to look at, from cost of living, cost of energy, cost of water.
No, but would you keep the two-child benefit cap?
Bringing down the cost of going to school.
Yes.
Sorry?
Would you keep the cap is my question.
So, I mean, I'm not going to speculate on decisions.
No, but which way do you feel? I'm not a decision, your personal motivation. Which way do you feel about it? Would you support it?
So I'm absolutely determined to tackle child poverty and
the two-child benefit gap.
I've always said that I think it's really important that we look in the round at what is driving child poverty,
what is
holding families back. Oh, well, we'll look at that. We'll look at that in terms
of... You don't know.
As part of... haven't made a decision. We're coming up with a strategy as to how we drive down child poverty.
Okay.
And I think whatever achieves that, I will support.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Talking about that, spending £1.2 billion for vital repairs to crumbling schools and hospitals. School Standards Minister Catherine McKinnell, thank you for your time. I always thought caps were pretty important for school standards. Indeed, the school I went to, if you weren't found with your cap, that was a standard that they used to pick up on. Let's go a minute late to the news and pick up on this with John in Birmingham. You're a school governor. Are you pleased to hear, does your school need cash and what does it need? Do we need paint? Do we need a new boiler? Do we need a new roof? What is it? Morning.
Nick, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
For me, just really, really disappointing to hear that, Minister. Clearly been to the Farage School of Calculating. 32,000 schools in the UK. That means that money's going to stretch to around about 40,000 per school. School I'm at, we desperately need more investment in the school. It's a Victorian school. The head teachers having to go in holidays to actually fix things themselves, and also I've been painting school halls over the summer
last year.
Try and save the school some money, which is really, really wrong. But what really gets me is you've got some fantastic teachers out there, don't even start me on the NHS side, but some fantastic teachers out there who don't know where they stand, where their pay is coming from, because the government just mess about, push your foot around and don't make a decision.
And that's why the frustration is there. John, the music means we have to move on. Thank you. We got you in. We gave you that minute. But we must now move on. Thank you, John. Good luck with what you're doing at that school. Coming up after the news, Conservative Robert Jenrick turns vigilante as he tackles London's fare dodgers.
You think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
And he took a synthesis.